Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Today we'll discuss from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 18, Text 47. And we'll also cover 48. There isn't much on 48, and that's the end of the chapter. So whoever is speaking tomorrow, I think Yamanalila is speaking tomorrow. So we'll speak on Chapter 19. So Text 47 is as follows.
Varnashramavatam
dharma
esha achara lakshana
saeva madbhakti yuto
nishreyasakara para.
Varnashramavatam, of the followers of the
Varnashrama system.
Dharma,
dharma,
religious principle.
Eshaha,
this. Achara,
achara,
by proper behavior according to the authorized tradition. Lakshana,
characterized.
Sa,
this.
Eva,
indeed.
Mat bhakti, with devotional service to me.
Yuta,
conjoined.
Nishreyasa,
the highest perfection of life.
Kara,
giving.
Para,
supreme. Translation. Those who are followers of this Varnashrama system, I repeat, those who are followers of this Varnashrama system accept religious principles according to authorized traditions of proper conduct. When such Varnashrama duties are dedicated to me, when such Varnashrama duties are dedicated to me in loving service, they award the supreme perfection of life. I repeat the second line, which is most important here. When such Varnashrama duties are dedicated to me in loving service, they award the supreme perfection of life. Purport by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. According to the Varnashrama system, the members of different orders and statuses of life have many traditional duties, such as worshipping the forefathers to save them from possible sinful reactions. All such Vedic rituals, sacrifices, austerities and so forth should be offered to the lotus feet of Lord Shri Krishna. They then become the transcendental means for going back home, back to Godhead. In other words, Krishna consciousness or loving service to Lord Shri Krishna is the sum and substance of progressive human life.
Om Agyanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Pada Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha. He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kantha Radha Kantha Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Supe Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripasindubhyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧಾರ ಶ್ರೀವಾಸಾದಿ ಗೌರಭಕ್ತ ವೃಂದ. ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ, ಹರೇ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ.
ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ. ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ. ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ. ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ. ಸೊ ಕ್ಯಾಂಟೋ 11 ಇಸ್ ಡಿಸ್ಕ್ರೈಬ್ಡ್ ಆಸ್ ದಿ ಡಿಸ್ಕ್ರಿಪ್ಷನ್ ಆಫ್ ದಿ ವರ್ಣಾಶ್ರಮ ಧರ್ಮ ಸಿಸ್ಟಮ್. ದಿಸ್ ಸೆಕ್ಷನ್ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ಬೀನ್ ಗೋಯಿಂಗ್ ಆನ್ ಸಿನ್ಸ್ ಮೆನಿ ವೀಕ್ಸ್, ಪ್ರೈಮರಿಲಿ ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ದ ಸಂವಾದ್ ಆರ್ ಕಾನ್ವರ್ಸೇಷನ್ ಬಿಟ್ವೀನ್ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಅಂಡ್ ಹಿಸ್ ಡಿಯರ್ ಡಿಸೈಪಲ್ ಉದ್ಧವ ಇಸ್ ಸ್ಟಿಲ್ ಗೋಯಿಂಗ್ ಆನ್, ಅಂಡ್ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಇಸ್ ಇನ್ಸ್ಟ್ರಕ್ಟಿಂಗ್ ಉದ್ಧವ ಆರ್ ಎನ್ಲೈಟನಿಂಗ್ ಉದ್ಧವ ಆನ್ ದ ಡಿಫರೆಂಟ್ ಫ್ಯಾಸೆಟ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ವರ್ಣಾಶ್ರಮ ಧರ್ಮ. So in the previous chapter we saw that the focus was on grihasthas and forgot the other one, brahmanas grihasthas, and in this section the focus is primarily on vanaprasthas and sannyasis. Okay. And this section anyway today we are going to have the read the last verse also. In fact I'll do that, text 48, so that we can start a new chapter tomorrow. So text 48 in the translation, Lord says, my dear saintly Uddhava, I have now described to you, just as you inquired, the means by which my devotee, perfectly engaged in his prescribed duty, can come back to me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then the chapter ends here. So this chapter essentially focuses on the lifestyle of a vanaprastha and a sannyasi. In fact, when I was reading the summary of this particular chapter, I got a bit scared, because it is mentioned that 1/4 of the life one should be in Brahmacharya Ashram. 1/4 of life should be in Grihastha Ashram, need not necessarily. If directly one can go from Brahmacharya to Sannyas, fantastic, but not possible, at least for souls like me. So 1/4, 25% Brahmachari, 25% Grihasthashram, 25% is Vanapras, and 25% is Sannyas. And this is assuming that average lifespan in Kali Yuga is 100 years. Average lifespan is how much? 60. Okay, don't scare me. Okay, I'm assuming, for my mind is assuming that it will be at least 80. Let it be like that, don't disturb it. Okay. But even assuming that it is 80, that means 25% is how much? 20. So when does Vanaprastha start? 40. So whoever is nearing 40, there's something to think about. And whoever has crossed 40, please think about it. Okay. So 40 is the age for Vanaprastha. So why was I scared about Vanaprastha? So what? That was the question. So Vanaprastha, it is mentioned in this chapter that a vanaprastha should eat the bulbs which are growing from the trees. He should go to the forest, one, and eat only that which is naturally coming out of the trees, like that. And I remember yesterday itself I was having a small argument with my wife that why, you know, second time that khichdi has been repeated in the house. That is the kind of sense control that I have. Okay. So about eating, this is what is given. About clothes, it is mentioned that vanaprastha should go to the forest and his clothes should be the bark of a tree and some twigs. He should, you know, cover his body with such things. And last week I was discussing whether we should buy the next suit from Peter Jackson or Man to Man or Bossini. This is our lifestyle at 40. Rather my lifestyle. Okay. And then it talked about hair. It said that the vanaprastha should not apply gel on his hair. Rather, what vanaprastha should do is he should not care about his hair. That is what is mentioned. The hair should be just left as it is. Okay, you should not even attempt to do anything, trimming or anything like that for vanaprastha in the forest. And the vanaprastha must sleep on the ground. Okay. Again, last week we removed our home slippers because winter is coming in. We have a wooden floor and it gets very cold in the wooden floor also. So we had home slippers so we don't catch cold. So what to speak of, sleeping on the floor, even walking on the floor is a big problem. And this is what is the demand of vanaprasthashram. And it is also said that in vanaprasthashram, in case it comes to the hot season, then one should not, try and bring, additional fans into the house or air coolers. Whereas one should ignite a fire all around oneself, around the hot sun. And so it was a little bit too much for me when I read all this. Okay, I was really getting scared. And it was said that in the winter one must submerge himself neck deep in cold water. Okay, whereas we had the heater repaired only last week because winter was approaching. And one must not endeavor for cleaning one's teeth. That is also mentioned. Okay. And we have Listerine mouthwash in our house. Again, we replenished it recently. So, if you see most of these products are bathroom products. If you see one's bathroom, then it's a good indication of how renounced one is. How much is one is following Varanashrama Dharma or Vanaprastha life as prescribed in the scriptures. In Hindi there was one song, it said, Ye Mati Kahegi Sadi Ki Kahani. Which means, from the mud of a country, then you will come to know what is the history of that place or what is happening right now at that place. So from the bathroom we will come to know the lifestyle of a person. How many cosmetics are there? So all these instructions are given about Vanaprastha Ashram and Sannyasi's Ashram. Similarly, for Sannyasis, it is mentioned that Sannyasi must only wear loin cloth. Okay. But if you see in ISKCON, Sannyasis don't wear loin cloth and come for a lecture. They are adequately covered when they enter the temple. And it is said that Sannyasi must not even have a sight of a woman. What to speak of then giving a class or accepting women as disciples? Not even the sight of a woman is acceptable. Right? And Sannyasi must carry only a staff, a danda and a water pot in their hand. Whereas Sannyasis carry laptops also nowadays. Correct? So how do we reconcile all these things? Whatever this section is talking about Vanaprastha life and Sannyasis. Do we have any hope? That is the question. Okay. So, Lord Krishna, thankfully, towards the end of this chapter, gives this verse. And in the second line of this verse, it is mentioned that when such Varanashrama duties are dedicated to me in loving service, they award the supreme perfection of life. So, I was going through a lecture by His Holiness Bhakti Raghav Swami. And he was quoting Srila Prabhupada. He said that Srila Prabhupada said that there are four things which are very important to spread Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. Number one is Sankirtana. Sankirtana includes the holy name and books. Number two is establishment of temples and deity worship. Sankirtan Yajna, establishment of temples and deity worship. Number three is congregational development. Namely, the Namahata programs, the Bhakti Vriksha programs, or the youth preaching programs. So, the third component is congregational development programs. And the fourth one, Srila Prabhupada said, is any guesses? Varanashrama Dharma. Fourth component is Varanashrama Dharma. Therefore, Sankirtan, temple worship, congregational development, Varanashrama. These are the four aspects which Bhakti Raghav Swami was mentioning that Srila Prabhupada had said. Even Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not reject Varanashrama Dharma. That's why he accepted the order of a sannyasi. So, but we have to understand something. Like for example, in our management MBA entrance exams or any aptitude tests if you take, you will come across some problems which say necessary condition and sufficient condition. Mark A, B, C, whatever. Right? So we have to understand that Varanashrama Dharma, what Lord Krishna is explaining in this verse, is definitely a necessary condition to go back to Godhead. There is no doubt about it. We can't flout Varanashrama Dharma frivolously and then expect to go back to Godhead. But at the same time, simply following Varanashrama Dharma is not sufficient to go back to Godhead. Right? So, to go back to Godhead, there are two tracks. One is Varnashrama Dharma and one is Bhagavad Dharma. Both have to be followed. And Varnashrama Dharma lays the foundation for Bhagavad Dharma. So, there is a book called Bhaktya Loka, which recently, you know, we got from some, I think my wife had got from Mayapur, I think. And I recently opened that book. And where Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur also emphasizes that as long as one has a material body, Varnashrama Dharma must be followed. But such Varnashrama Dharma, and this is very important, Varnashrama Dharma must be followed, but such Varnashrama Dharma must remain under full control and domination of bhakti. So bhakti should drive Varnashrama Dharma. That's why in Srimad Bhagavatam we have that verse in the first canto which says, Dharma sva anushtita pumsam vishvaksena kathasu yaha na utpadiye radhiratim shrama evahi kevalam. Which means, following any dharma, as long as it doesn't lead to devotional loving service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it is useless, waste of time. So, as long as the goal is bhakti, okay, then Lord Krishna himself says that little bit of compromise can even have come to Varnashrama Dharma. Varnashrama Dharma should be followed, but we should not be so fastidious about Varnashrama Dharma that then it's followed at the cost of bhakti. That's why Lord Krishna, even in Bhagavad Gita, after he explained all kinds of dharma, finally what did he say? Sarva dharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam raja. So he said ultimately dharma is not as important as bhakti is. But this doesn't mean that we frivolously give up the tenets of Varnashrama Dharma. So what is the speciality of this Bhagavad Dharma over Varnashrama Dharma causing Lord Krishna to make the second statement, that when such Varnashrama duties are dedicated to me in loving service, they award the supreme perfection of life. So what is the difference between Varnashrama Dharma or other yoga types like Jnana Yoga, Karma Yoga, Dhyana Yoga, etc., etc., over the process of bhakti? So in Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, in chapter 31, text 13, Srila Narad Muni instructs the Prachetas. And he instructs the Prachetas and says that Krishna is the original source of all self-realization. Consequently, the goal of all auspicious activities should be Krishna. Whether it is karma, jnana or ashtanga yoga, the goal must be Krishna. So the Prachetas in their humility are mentioning to Narad Muni in those chapters that, dear Narad Muni, we feel that we have deviated from the goal of life. Though actually the Prachetas had not deviated from the goal of life, but still in their humility they are saying that. So Narad Muni is taking this opportunity to systematically explain and enunciate the principles of bhakti and the goals of human life uncompromisingly. And Narad Muni says that when the goal is there, but when we compromise on the details that lead up to the goal, there is always a risk that we will not reach the goal. So essentially what Narad Muni is speaking is that Narad Muni clarifies the goal of all these kinds of processes. Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, Ashtanga Yoga, etc. are not deviant paths. Sometimes, you know, we in our fanaticism for Bhakti Yoga, we deride these processes. But we have to be clear that all these processes are not deviant. The only difference is these processes also lead to the same goal eventually, but they are not as direct a process as Bhakti Yoga is. Because in Bhakti, there is no difference between the goal and the process. So, there is less risk involved in the process of Bhakti. And in the process of following Bhakti, in fact, one is already situated in the goal which the Jnana Yogis or the Ashtanga Yogis are aiming for. So the process itself is one sense the goal. Even whether it is Sadhana Bhakti or Raganoga Bhakti, it doesn't matter. The goal is the same at the end of the day. In one, it is regulated. In one, it is spontaneous. So, but the problem with the other types of yogas and even in following Varnashrama Dharma without properly understanding Bhagavad Dharma is that because there is a gap between the process and the goal, then one can be diverted and we can slip through these gaps. Whereas in Bhakti Yoga, from the very beginning, we have already caught the goal. So when we follow simply Varnashrama Dharma or any other process without knowing the tenets of Bhagavad Dharma, and if the goal is not ascertained at the very beginning of the yoga process, then we stand a risk of getting diverted in between. So there are various examples in this regard which we can discuss. In fact, it is said, before I come to the example, it is also yesterday, you know, in Bhakti Vriksha, Preeti Mataji was mentioning this verse. Tesham satata yuktanam vajatam preeti purvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam yenamam upayantite. In the process of bhakti, the biggest advantage is that not only are we, you know, the process and the goal are non-different, but Lord Krishna directly helps us attain our goal. So he holds us by the finger and he directs our life in such a way that at the end we are delivered at his lotus feet through the mercy of our spiritual master. Okay. Whereas in the other process of yoga, one's own endeavor is the major component in of the whole process. So, what is the problem if we don't understand the tenets of Bhagavad Dharma and only focus on simply executing the process of Varnashrama Dharma or other yogic processes? The example is given of Duryodhana. Now it is mentioned that Duryodhana was very adept at organizing big sacrifices. And for whose pleasure did he organize? He did know that Lord Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he was not ignorant of the philosophy that at the end of the day all sacrifices ultimately are for the pleasure of Vishnu. He was not ignorant of this fact. But Duryodhana was morally a very weak person, and he had very selfish goals in his heart, and he was willing to do anything to attain his selfish ends. So even when Lord Krishna came personally in front of him, for example, we say in Bhakti Yoga, Tesham Sata Yuktanam, we said, Lord Krishna guides. Lord Krishna was personally in front of him and giving him some instructions. But even then, because his goal was not Bhagavad Dharma, his goal was self-centered, he learnt his lessons the hard way. In fact, it is mentioned that even after he received battering from the hands of Bhima and he was about to give up his body, he was lying down, writhing in pain, Ashwatthama came in front of him. And at such a time, you can imagine, when you have been totally battered, right? Just imagine if you have been bashed up by some hooligans in Melbourne and we are lying down on the road, and this is Bhima who has bashed him up. Okay, so he is lying down in that pain. But even in that pain, when he sees Ashwatthama, he gives an interesting instruction to Ashwatthama. He says, Ashwatthama, all my sons are dead in the battlefield of Kurukshetra. But however, my wife is still surviving. So Ashwatthama, kindly go to my wife and through her you procreate a child, so that then my son can then become the king of Hastinapur. This is the consciousness he had. After being battered up, he sends his wife to another man and asks to create progeny. Okay. This is the kind of absorption with the goal which he had, which was having this kingdom. And the same kind of absorption was also exhibited by his father Dhritarashtra. So, this is an example of how infatuated the goal of self-centeredness can be. When Lord Krishna and Balaram, when they attacked the Kauravas, finally they defeated and the Kauravas met the Lord. At that time, the same Duryodhana, he told Lord Krishna, I know you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In fact, there is a Sanskrit verse which is from the Mahabharata. He says, Aham Yantra Tvam Yantri, he says. He says, Lord, I know that I am the Yantra, I am the equipment, and Tvam Yantri, you are the operator of this equipment. And I know that something is wrong with me. But he says, because I am the instrument and you are the operator, whatever wrong that I do, are you not ultimately responsible for it? Because you are the operator. So he tries to give this logic to Lord Krishna. And then he says, Janami Dharmam Nachame Nivritti. Which means, my dear Lord, I know, not so, he didn't say my dear Lord, sorry. I said that. I stand corrected. He said, Krishna, I know what is dharma and what is adharma. Janami dharmam nachame navriti. But I am just doing as you are directing me. So for any of my actions, don't blame me. So Duryodhana wanted to be the soul here to Hastinapur. And though he knew the philosophy very well, since his goals were not very clear, although Lord Krishna spoke many times to him, ultimately he forgot the goal. Similarly, when we come to Karna, in India, Karna is given a very high position for his so-called morality and helping nature. So, Karna was willing to lay down his life for the sake of pleasing Duryodhana. In fact, Lord Krishna came as a messenger to Karna also. He met Karna in private and he told him, I have a deal for you, for the kingdom of Hastinapur. You can rule the kingdom of Hastinapur. And I can assure you that Maharaj Yudhishthir and all the Pandavas will wave chamaras when you sit on the throne. Why? Because you are the elder brother and Maharaj Yudhishthir is Dharmaputra. So he will never be envious of you. So you have a direct chance to go to the throne. So then why do you want to be on the other side? So Karna replied to Lord Krishna that I know, Lord, that that on the side of Duryodhana, my fate is certain death. I know that. But still, my friendship to him is more important than your instructions. And many times in our own lives, we see that even after coming into Krishna consciousness, we are not able to give up mundane friendship of non-devotees. Though the Lord is instructing us through Srila Prabhupada's books and our spiritual master, still we find it very difficult not to associate with non-devotees. So this was the symptom of Karna. Because, why? His goal was not Bhagavad Dharma. His goal was something else. There are the tenets of Varanashrama Dharma also prescribe gratitude and so many things towards human being, manav seva, so many things are being described in Varanashrama Dharma. But he did not understand that at the end of the day, Lord Krishna's instructions are more superior to any principles of morality that are enunciated in Varanashrama Dharma. So, Srimad Bhagavatam in almost every chapter carefully talks about maintaining our goals, which is attaining the pure love of Godhead, and to do whatever it takes to attain the lotus feet of Krishna. So the point here is, okay, let's take one more example, okay, for comparison. So we talked about Duryodhana, we talked about Karna. What was the point? The whole point was that their goals were wrong. And they were fixed in that particular goal. So, nothing could change them. Even the instructions of Lord Krishna could not change their minds. Let us contrast that with the goals of Dhruva Maharaj. When Dhruva Maharaj left his house, what was his goal? That he wanted a planet which was he wanted a kingdom which was much, much more opulent than that of his father's. So, he started off with that goal. But then when he met Lord Krishna, and when he saw the lotus feet of Lord Narayana, he said, I was asking for broken pieces of glass. Okay. And he said, why do I need all those kingdoms? But because he desired that initially, he had to accept a kingdom called as Dhruvalaka and rule it for many, many years. Right? So, if you compare both this, what is the difference between both? The essential difference that comes across is that Dhruva Maharaj, after he met Lord Vishnu, he changed his goal. Whereas Duryodhana and Karna, even after meeting Krishna, did not change their goals. So in fact, it is mentioned in Bhagavad Gita that to enter the realm of devotional service, there is no qualification required. That is why Lord Krishna says, what is that verse which says all types of devotees? Chaturvidha bhajante mam. Right? Jnani, artho, arthardi, Jigyasu. Right? So to enter Krishna consciousness, even your qualification can be simply that you are under distress right now. We are fed up. We may have no attraction for Krishna. Or we may just be inquisitive. Or we may want some knowledge. So there are so many types of people who come into Krishna consciousness. When we come into Krishna consciousness, our goals are all different for coming under the lotus feet of Krishna. For example, when I came to Krishna consciousness, I was suffering probably the severe most problem of my professional life. And then I remembered, somebody had told me, when you are in difficulty, chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra. It will give you some happiness. And then I said, okay, let me try. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And nobody was there with me. But I was so fed up with my job that I just picked up the bead and started Hare Krishna for the very first time. And from there my devotional life started. There was no spontaneous devotion or whatever. Came with a very selfish goal. I wanted my problem to be sorted out, which actually got sorted out at the end of the day. But my goal, at that time, I was fixed on only goal, that I want to go up in my career. That's all. But later on when we came to Krishna consciousness, when we opened Srila Prabhupada's books, our goals gradually shifted. Said, okay, career is not the goal of life. The goal of life is self-realization. Understanding who you are, understanding who your relationship, what your relationship is with the Supreme, putting an end to the cycle of birth, disease, old age and death. And not just trying to live comfortably inside the four walls of the material jail. Right? So this is a stark difference between Dhruva Maharaj and Karna and Duryodhana. In fact, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's also mentioned about Tapan Mishra, who had studied so many scriptures and he was completely confused till he met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Right? But after he met Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he altered his goals. So it is mentioned that fixation with the wrong goal is more dangerous than starting off without knowing what is the goal of life and giving an opportunity to get corrected along the way. So, the example is given of the Westerners. When Srila Prabhupada met the Westerners for the very first time, it was very evident that the Westerners were completely confused about the goal of life. Not to say that the Indians are not confused, but I am talking about Prabhupada Leela. Okay. So, they were completely confused about the goal of life. But there was an advantage. They were not fixed in their confusion. So they gave Srila Prabhupada an opportunity to clarify their confusion. And therefore, today we found that many of the hippies have become from hippies to happies. Right? So many of them have taken to the path of Bhagavad Dharma and actually perfected their lives. Not only that, they are changing, impacting the lives of millions of people around the world. So that is the kind of impact that bhakti can have if we are willing to shift our goals in accordance with the tenets of Bhagavad Dharma. So that is why again Lord Krishna is hammering at, you know, in this chapter that I have spoken everything about Varanashrama Dharma. But please do understand that Varanashrama Dharma one should not become very fanatical about Varanashrama Dharma. Please understand that Varanashrama Dharma is only a necessary condition for Bhagavad Dharma and not sufficient in itself to lead someone back to Godhead. So Sripad Madhvacharya has some interesting comments in this matter, and he said that our fixation to wrong goals can be because of various reasons. And he says the primary reason is false identification or upadhis that we develop in this lifetime. So he says people identify with various things. Some people identify themselves with the prana or the life air. Others identify themselves with the mind. Yet others identify themselves with the intelligence. Some identify themselves with the false ego. And some identify themselves with the consciousness. So there is prana, life air, mind, intelligence, false ego, consciousness. Right? So he says that people who identify with the prana or the life air, their basic goal is how to alleviate hunger. Their whole driver comes from the hunger point of view. So an example was given that once the Gaudiya Matha devotees, they were touring South India and they were lecturing in South India. There was a huge pandal and people were coming in and there was a seminar going on self-realization. So suddenly one of them walked up to them, one of the members, and said, why are you doing all these programs? Why not just distribute food for the poor people? This was his argument. So therefore, the devotees explained to him that we are not saying that poor people should not be fed. In fact, in ISKCON we have Food for Life program, which is one of the most successful programs. Okay. Of course, we only don't feed the belly, we also feed the soul along with it. Therefore, we give prasadam to the poor people. So it not only solves the problem of hunger, but also purifies the soul and consciousness. But when this devotee walked up, when this person walked up and made this allegation, why are you not distributing prasadam? So then the devotees explained to him that so many people here, thousands of people have gathered here and have got an opportunity to know what is the purpose of this human form of life. So what is the point in just filling their bellies and sending them home? Right? And if one person, one rebellious person walks out of the forum, we will still continue doing this preaching movement. Just in as much as if we were doing just a food program and we were serving food to everyone, if one person says, I don't want food and walks away, you are not going to hold everyone else and stop serving food to the other people. So he said that if you want to walk away, because this guy was really getting very rude. So if you want to walk away, you have the freedom to walk away. But that doesn't mean that we are going to deprive so many thousands of people who have come with a genuine quest for self-realization. So this is the problem with identifying too much with the prana. So if we identify with the prana, then our goals gradually shift towards these kind of activities of just helping mankind to fill its own bellies. So it is mentioned that when we come with a goal in mind and don't change it, even after coming to Krishna consciousness, we will not be benefited by it. The second kind of people is the people who identify with the intelligence. And it is mentioned by Srila Madhvacharya that such people experience profound existential bitterness and frustration deep within the heart. People who identify with their intelligence. So when shastras are read, they always try to understand the shastras only from an analytical point of view. And because of that, the understanding of shastras then becomes their own prerogative. There is no stesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam. That only comes in bhakti yoga, where the Lord drives our intelligence. Here, we are only using intelligence as an external faculty, which we are not allowing the Lord to drive our intelligence. So there is no stesham satata yuktanam here. And we are using actually only one faculty here, which is intelligence. So therefore, when we follow the process of bhakti, instead of just relying on intelligence as an independent component, then we find that this knowledge of this, the transcendental knowledge, automatically comes, springs within our heart. Which is why that verse is there. Tesham evanu kampartam agyana am agyana jam tamaha nashayami atma bhavasto jnana deepena bhashvata. From inside the heart, the jnana deep comes. So there is no external intelligent effort that is needed to be done. And Gopal Vrindesh Prabhu was mentioning that day in his class on Friday that in devotional life, all devotees have got BMW with them. Body, mind and words. Right? Whereas the non-devotees, when they, or the people who are not following Bhakti Yoga, when they associate only with the intelligence and try to understand everything through their intellect, then they are not using, they are only using one aspect of their body, which is intelligence. Whereas in Bhakti Yoga, we use mind, manaso, deho, geho, everything we use in the service of the Lord. That is another difference, right? Between a person who affiliates with his intelligence and one who affiliates himself as, who understands himself as a servant of Krishna and follows Bhakti Yoga. People who relate to their false ego. This is the third kind of people, right? What happens is, when we relate to our false ego, whatever activities that we do, even if we achieve excellence in those activities, still we do not understand it from the point of view of Krishna consciousness. We have two parallel tracks. One is our excellence and one is Krishna bhakti. For example, it is mentioned that when we are dressing Lord Krishna, even though directly in front of the Lord and we are nicely dressing the deities, our mind is only on, after the deity doors are opened, how people will ask, who dressed the Lord, and how I can say, I dress the Lord. So that is the kind of consciousness, even when dressing, we are not Krishna consciousness, we are I conscious. So therefore, even in such activities, apparently this activity is Krishna bhakti, but our consciousness is not there in that activity, because our goal is different. Example of that is the Daksha Yajna. Daksha was actually very respectful to Lord Vishnu. In Srimad Bhagavatam, when we read, recently we studied in Bhakti Vaibhav, we completed that section. So Daksha was very reverent to Lord Vishnu. Who he had a problem with? Yeah, Lord Shiva. So when the Yajna was done, he wanted to actually end up pleasing Lord Vishnu. But he ended up insulting Lord Shiva. Why did that whole incident happen? Because though Daksha wanted to please Lord Vishnu, but he had a parallel goal along with that. That parallel goal was, fine, Yajna will be done very nicely. Lord Vishnu, may you be pleased, but also may I also get respect for performing this Yajna so nicely. So then, when Lord Shiva walked in, or was sitting in the assembly and Daksha walked in, and even Brahma paid respects to him, but Lord Shiva, because he was in smaran of Lord Krishna, failed to pay respects to Daksha, then the whole trouble of Daksha Yajna started. And where did that parallel goal of his lead him to? He had to have the head of a goat. Right? He was finally killed by the devotees of Lord Shiva, and he had to get the body of a goat. But even after getting the body of the goat, his consciousness was not completely cleansed of this impurity. Therefore, Daksha had to come take another lifetime, and in that lifetime, what happened was, when Narad Muni came and preached to the Rachetas, then Daksha was very unhappy, because Daksha's role was progenitor, to create progeny more and more. And when these people, when Narad Muni came in touch with them, and they left their wives and families, and then Daksha was very unhappy with Narad Muni for deviating them from their original goal. So therefore, Daksha cursed Narad Muni, saying that you cannot be in one place for more than 3 days. So, the whole import of what we are trying to say here is that in Varnashrama Dharma, we may have a particular fixation with only our goals, and we cannot see the relationship of our goals with the goals which others are trying to attain. Whereas in Krishna consciousness, the goal is only one. Everybody is focusing on Lord Krishna himself, right? On pleasing Lord Krishna. So therefore, in Bhakti Yoga, it is easy to see the relationship of what others are doing in relationship to what I am doing, which Daksha was not able to see, right? So, this happens because of extreme affiliation with one's intelligence or false ego. The other connection that a person can have, the other upadhi which a person can have, is extreme association with one's own consciousness. When one associates or affiliates thinking that I am my consciousness, that then one becomes very sensitive to one's own past, present and future. Because I am thinking always about my consciousness and my consciousness, I am not thinking about Krishna consciousness. So sometimes when a service comes, then we do not put our best foot forward for that service, because it could be possible that somebody who is doing that particular service, we don't have a good relationship with that devotee. Okay, and Premdam Prabhu and myself, we were having a conversation in the tram the other day, wherein sometimes what we happen, you know, a particular service which we originally wanted to take and we wanted to serve that particular way, Sri Sri Radha Vallabha, but because of some past experience with some particular devotees who are engaged in some kind of service, then we take a back seat and we really don't give our best commitment, though we wanted to do that particular service. So this is called as identifying oneself with one's consciousness. So there are many such examples which Srila Madhvacharya gives, wherein he says that fixation on one's upadhis, which eventually leads to fixation on wrong goals, can deviate us from the path of Bhagavad Dharma, which is enunciated. So in these set of verses, what is being discussed by Lord Krishna is, I have discussed with you, my dear Uddhava, all the tenets of Varnashrama Dharma that need to be, but please do understand that however you, no matter to what extent you may excel in executing this Varnashrama Dharma, as long as you do not understand that the goal of Varnashrama Dharma is to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the process of Varnashrama Dharma should gradually elevate oneself such that one should eventually take the process of Bhagavad Dharma. So there has to be that migration from Varnashrama Dharma to Bhagavad Dharma in one's life. Otherwise, you are plainly following Varnashrama Dharma is simply useless. So, that gives a lot of hope for us. So when initially when we began the class, we talked about how whatever Varanashrama Dharma is prescribing for vanaprasthas or sannyasis, we may apparently not be able to follow all those principles, like going to a forest or covering our body with the bark of a tree or some plants, etc. We can't follow all of that, nor can the sannyasis today, nor are the sannyasis coming with a loincloth. But the basic point to understand is that Bhagavad Dharma, ultimately when the sannyasis are following Bhagavad Dharma, when they are following the instructions of Srila Prabhupada to spread the message of Krishna consciousness all throughout the world, then it is okay not to follow these hardcore tenets which are prescribed by the Varanashrama Dharma proponents and take Krishna's service or pleasure of Srila Prabhupada as the primary goal in life and make changes in that regard to the whole process. That is acceptable. So then our Varanashrama Dharma becomes truly perfect. Otherwise it just remains something which we are very fanatical about. So in the concluding verses of this particular chapter, Lord Krishna is giving us this powerful instruction that at the end of the day, don't forget that service unto me is the supreme goal of human form of life. Thank you very much. Are there any questions or comments?
Just a comment. You talked about Duryodhan because he was so attached to his goals, which was enjoying the material pleasure. And you also talked about Bruma, who initially was also attached to the goal of his material pleasure. But eventually Dhruva Maharaj got the bhakti just because he was directed by Spiritual Master. So Spiritual Master is responsible for all our efforts to be directed so that even if with all our material desires, finally it reaches bhakti. So is that correct understanding?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely correct. Yeah. That is the point which Lord Krishna is trying to drive here. Anything else?
One more question. How the identification with the first one, what mentioned?
Prana.
Prana gives hunger.
That is what Srila Madhvacharya explains. That identification with the prana, because you are identifying with the life air, and since hunger is a very vital component of life, if hunger is not elevated, then the prana doesn't exist. So one who is very conscious about prana at all points in time automatically is very much impacted by anything that is concerned with hunger and the belly. That's what he's trying to say. It's a subtle relationship he's trying to establish there.
So when we spoke about vanaprastha, we spoke about not taking care of the hair and teeth and stuff. So how does cleanliness come about?
Okay. Alright. So, how is cleanliness relevant for us when Vanaprastha, Varanashrama Dharma says that one should not even clean one's teeth? Okay. So, the Acharyas have said that this body, for the bhakta does not ignore his body. Because Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Manaso Deho Geho Yo Kichu Mor Arpilu Tuvapade Nanda Kishor. Which means, my own body, my own mind, my own words do not belong to me. I surrender everything unto you. Now, can we surrender a rotten product to Krishna? No. Whatever we want to surrender to Krishna should be the best, right? So, a devotee always knows this principle, that everything animate or inanimate, including our own body, is a property of Krishna. And therefore, with that consciousness, then the devotee maintains external cleanliness of the body. Of course, internal cleanliness is also there. Chanting is the main component, and internal cleanliness is in one sense more important. But we don't ignore external cleanliness, because this body belongs to Krishna. So with that consciousness, if we are brushing our teeth, or doing anything for the body, buying a nice soap, which actually helps us be clean, then that is acceptable. That is Yukta Vairagya. Because at the end of the day, the consciousness is not that how handsome should I look, but at the end of the day, how clean can I be, so that then I can offer my services to Lord Krishna. Because we don't want to come in front of Lord Krishna like a beggar. Okay. Nobody wants to be served in that manner. Even when we go, when we used to go to restaurants, you know, if the waiter, what is the difference between a third class hotel and a first class hotel? Third class hotel, the waiter's his nails also will be full of dirt. You know, he'll come and serve you some tea, right? And that tea will cost 1 rupee. Whereas when you go to a 5-star hotel, the fellow will come with suit and tie, and he'll give you the same tea, but you know that extra 74 rupees is for the ambience and for his cleanliness and his manners. And he'll speak English and he'll serve you. Like that. Right? Otherwise for 1 rupee he'll just keep the glass and walk away. So so when we go to Lord Krishna, who are we serving? We are serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we can't go in an unclean manner to him. So we have to be at our best when we go to serve Lord Krishna. And in that context, that cleanliness becomes very important. Does it make sense? Tantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.